The Cartober fundraising drive is on. Help give back this month by donating your used car, truck, RV, or boat to KPBS. Donating is easy and it's tax deductible. Learn more by visiting us at kpbs.org/car.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Wednesday, October 9th. A public safety advisory has been put out by Oceanside Police after multiple attacks killed two homeless men and left a third wounded. More on that next. But first, let's do the headlines. More than a million property tax bills are on their way to property owners this week. The payments are expected to generate more than $9 billion. Property taxes fund county and city services such as public health and schools. All bills can be viewed and paid at sdttc.com. First installments are due November 1st, and second installments are due on February 1st. More than 340,000 people took public transit on Free Ride Day last week. The event provided free rides across the county on public transit run by MTS and NCTD. MTS saw more than 15% increase in ridership compared to the previous week. It was also the first time they had over 300,000 riders since the start of the COVID pandemic. NCTD saw a 28% increase in ridership over the previous week and also the most daily riders on the coaster since the pandemic. Registered voters in the county now have more options to cast their ballots for the election. Early voting is underway at the registrar's office on weekdays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. San Diegans can also drop off their ballots at any official ballot drop box. And on October 26, certain vote centers will open every day. For ballot drop box and vote center locations, head to our newsroom's voter guide at kpbs.org/voterhub. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalage, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
Oceanside Police have put out a public safety advisory after a string of attacks that killed two homeless men and left a third wounded. The first attack was on September 18th near Oceanside Harbor Village. A man in his 40s was injured. The bodies of the other two men, both in their 60s, were found last weekend in separate places within 2 miles of the first site. Investigators have not released any other information about the victims. Oceanside Police Chief Kedrick Sadler says they don't have any suspects and they are not sure whether the attacks are related.
In response to these recent attacks, the Oceanside Police Department has increased their patrol throughout the city where unhoused individuals frequent. Officers from our homeless outreach team will also be contacting individuals on foot in the areas to advise them of the recent attacks and provide them with resources.
The department's homeless outreach team will also be advising unhoused people to stay vigilant and to travel and sleep in numbers. Governor Newsom recently vetoed a bill that could have significantly boosted voter registration at the DMV. Gloria Penner-Fellow, Elaine Alfaro says local advocacy groups are disappointed but undeterred.
The bill would have made voter registration at the DMV automatic, not optional. It aimed to target the 4.7 million eligible unregistered voters in California. When people go to the DMV to renew their license, instead of getting the choice to opt out of voter registration, they would have been put on a list automatically if they were eligible. But the bill had critics. The costs and a lack of choice in registration were main concerns, which is why Governor Newsom vetoed the bill, But Itzel Maganda Chavez from Alliance San Diego says the cost argument isn't valid.
I know there was a mention right about the budget cycle, but the intention of the author of this bill was that there was going to be a delayed implementation of SB 299 all the way to 2030.
Chavez says Alliance and the Democracy Coalition are still figuring out next steps, but they will continue advocating for voter registration. To learn more about how to register to vote, go to registertovote.ca.gov. Elaine Alfaro, KPBS News.
A new state law requires hair styling courses to train for all types and textures of hair. Reporter Katie Heisen visited a stylist who has been filling that gap in the San Diego market.
When Brittany Gandy moved to San Diego, she struggled to find a stylist who knew how to work with her tight coils. So she wore wigs and tried to become the stylist she couldn't find. But hair school taught for straight hair. Like, they cut the hair wet.
And the way that curly hair reacts when it's wet is completely different. It doesn't live in a two-dimensional space. It lives more in a 3D world. You have to take into account the shrinkage.
So she taught herself on YouTube until she finally felt confident to show her natural hair.
To not have to feel like I have to put on a hat or hide behind something, to feel confident in just like wearing what's naturally mine. It's liberating.
She's happy this law passed, just hopes the schools hire curl experienced educators. There seems to be demand. She launched her salon, Curl Cousin, in 2022 and says 700 clients poured in that year. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
A follow-up to an ongoing story KPBS has covered over the last 2 years, threats against local elected officials. USD has expanded its study of harassment and intimidation. Public Matters investigative reporter Amitha Sharma tells us about the findings. Amitha, I know you've reported a lot on this topic. What did USD learn from its latest look at threats against public officials?
That's right, Debbie. We do have a body of work on this issue. And let me just give you a very quick recap. Last year, USD asked local politicians about how often people try to intimidate them. Their survey found that 66% of male office holders reported being threatened or harassed. And that is compared to 82% of female politicians. And two-thirds of those polled said the intimidation had actually worsened since they first took office. This year, USD broadened its poll of elected officials to include not just San Diego County, but Imperial and Riverside counties as well. And here are some highlights. Two-thirds of elected officials in these three counties reported being threatened and harassed, and more than half thought it was serious enough to contact police. 69% of women said that they were targets monthly, and that's compared to 38% of men. And once again, you can see, Debbie, that women are bearing the brunt of the hostility. Back in May, I spoke to John Porton. He is a researcher at the Kroc Institute for Peace and Justice, which oversaw the study. And he spoke to me before the findings had been released. He elaborated on women politicians as targets of threats. Here's what he said.
Women are experiencing a volume of threats, almost an order of magnitude worse than men. Over the last year, we've started to hear many more reports about hostility within the board, that some of the harassment and threats are coming from people who serve on the board with the people who are respondents to our surveys or who are interviewing.
Amitha, women have now been in politics for decades. Are the threats and harassment really new?
Well, that is the question, Debbie, and the answer is no. Last year, I interviewed former National City Mayor Alexandra Sotelo Solis, and she said that there was a man back in 2014 who used to regularly harass her at council meetings, and she always thought that he was being egged on by a male colleague, by a political peer. Here she is describing how that man spoke to her one night outside a council meeting 10 years ago.
He came up to me and started saying, well, you're a b- and you are a dog on a leash.
So what is the purpose of this study?
As USD reiterates, there is a difference between the freedom to express dissent and the deliberate use of intimidation or violence against public officials to actually influence policy. The university is trying to understand whether we at the local level are approaching that line, in the middle of crossing that line, or whether we have already crossed the line and have moved into what they call fear-based government. USD has collected data on the effect of the threats, and what they have found so far is that elected officials are censoring themselves or being silent, period, on policy issues because of this intimidation. And Debbie, you know, I had a sobering conversation last month with a guy by the name of Imran Ahmed, who started the Center for Countering Digital Hate, and he studied highly toxic Instagram posts related to 10 well-known women politicians, including Vice President Kamala Harris and Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. And he has firsthand knowledge of what can happen if this abuse of women politicians, politicians in general, is left unchecked.
I started this work because a colleague of mine in the British Parliament was murdered by a man who thought that he would use bullets, knives, and his fists to beat to death a woman for the beliefs that she had. And these will become more frequent events if we see the normalization of extreme hate against women.
And Debbie, the name of that politician is Jo Cox, who was a member of the British Parliament until she was stabbed and shot to death in 2016 by a white supremacist. Ahmed says one way you start to deal with the toxicity aimed at politicians, women politicians, politicians in general, is to require social media platforms to enforce their own rules, rules they currently have on the books on threats and harassment.
Amitha, thank you.
Thank you, Debbie.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. In tomorrow's podcast, we'll bring you details on this weekend's Ocean Beach Oktoberfest. Join us again for that. Plus, the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening and have a great Wednesday.
On the next drop of Rap Diego, we look into the 1980s. The origin of San Diego rap is traced back to DJ Gil and the Mid-City DJs. South Bay's Legion of Doom launches an independent record label, and DJ Jam is deep in the early mixtape scene.
My tapes were selling from here to the Bay Area, you know what I mean?
Three new episodes of Rap Diego every Friday. You can find us anywhere you stream podcasts. So pull up, press play at high volume.